Hello everyone and welcome to Press TV's rolling coverage of the situation going on in the Gaza Strip. As always, first an update. As we know that there was a three-day truce in place between Hamas and Israel. That truce, the three-day truce, has ended. And of course, the Israeli military has launched more attacks on the Gaza Strip when that truce ended. More than 1,000 people have been killed, many of them civilians, mostly women and children. And of course, nearly 10,000 have been injured as a result of this month-long Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip. Let's get the latest now from our correspondent on the ground, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, over to you. First of all, tell us, what is the situation like now that the truce has ended? How severe are the attacks?
Well, Hassan, the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip continued into the night. We can hear Israeli fighter jets flying overhead every couple of minutes. Most of the attacks of the Israeli Air Force are concentrating on the southern Gaza Strip towns of Rafah and Khan Yunis, in addition to attacks from Israeli gunboats towards areas east of Gaza City, although east of Gaza City is almost completely destroyed from the weeks of almost nonstop Israeli attacks in that area, especially Shija'iyah area. Also, Israeli tanks are hitting areas in the northern Gaza Strip town of Bethlehia. Throughout the night, no injuries were reported, at least so far, from the Israeli attacks. But following the end of the ceasefire, five Palestinians were killed, including two children, and at least 31 people were injured. Now, according to a report issued on the 4th of August by the UN, just before the start of the ceasefire, there's been at least 65,000 people in Gaza who completely lost their homes or whose homes were completely destroyed, or they cannot return to their homes because of the damage sustained to their homes. And in addition to 10,000 women, 10,000 pregnant women who are currently displaced in UN schools and they're not getting proper medical treatment, they're also saying that 375,000 Palestinian children in the Gaza Strip need immediate psychosocial support to deal with the trauma they've been faced with in this Israeli war on Gaza. They did not mention the fact that all of the children in Gaza are traumatized by the Israeli attacks, the death of their parents, their brothers, sisters, next of kin, all the attacks on them. Hospitals in Gaza, despite the fact that some medicine was made it through the Kerem Shalom crossing from the West Bank, from donations from Palestinians in the West Bank, as well as from the Palestinian Unity Government in the West Bank. But still, hospitals have not been able to restock their medicines and hospital supplies and surgical supplies. Hospitals in Gaza still have to deal with a large number of injuries and the wounded due to the continuous Israeli war on Gaza.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time. Your Press TV's Ashraf Shannon giving us the latest on the ground from Gaza. Thanks to Ashraf and stay safe. Also joining me in today's discussion is Paul Arudik, co-founder of the Free Palestine Movement from Berkeley. And from New York, I'm joined by Nasir Al-Omari, right-hand political commentator. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. If we can start with you, Mr. Paul Arudik. Mr. Arudik, a month into the war, what have both sides achieved and at the same time lost?
Well, for Israel, this exercise was considered necessary for a variety of reasons. First of all, it wanted to disrupt the unity government. Secondly, it needs a war or an aggression of this kind every 2 or 3 years in order to induct the new members of the military coming up through the educational system, graduating from secondary school, and they need to participate in the national genocidal project. That doesn't mean necessarily that every one of them will be involved in in killing someone, but they will participate in the act of killing in one way or another. In this way, you get consensus from the Israeli public, and the military comprises everyone in Israel, in effect. So they become a part of the national pastime, if you will. I hate to put it that way, but the mentality has to be formed, and the military is the instrument of Israel to form this mentality. And also, I mean, it's just part of the overall more than 100 year ethnic cleansing or genocidal project. It's a step along the road of removing all Palestinians or non-Jews from the area that Israel wants. And Netanyahu has said repeatedly that he was opposed to removing the Israeli settlements from Gaza, and he wants that land back, and he wants the Palestinians gone.
Dr. Omari, what do you think? Has Israel been successful in achieving its gradual genocidal act, its gradual ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians?
Well, they're definitely trying. The Netanyahu government has blockaded the people of Gaza for many, many years. The unemployment rate in Gaza at some point, I think it was this year, reached 40%. People can't rebuild their homes after they had been destroyed by the Netanyahu government. People have nowhere to go. They live on fishing. They cannot travel and get out of Gaza for make some money and come back to Gaza and make a life in Gaza. So for all practical reasons, if you put this big picture together, the people of Gaza have to sacrifice themselves for the state of Israel, it seems. A good Palestinian in the eyes of the Netanyahu and his radical extreme gang is a dead Palestinian or a Palestinian who lives in a refugee camp. Although they are not, and the Likud party, for example, they have no recognition of Palestine or Palestinians, and they blame Hamas for not recognizing them. This is really horrible, and the world is turning a blind eye to the killing of these children and these innocent people.
And so, Mr. Lerudi, what is the likelihood of a permanent ceasefire or solution, taking into consideration the fundamental differences that these two sides have, the Palestinians and the Israelis?
I'm sure that Israel would Hamas and the Palestinian people of Gaza to accept a ceasefire in which nothing changes. And in fact, well, actually, the only change would be a negative change. That is that the Palestinian people in Gaza would be at a greater disadvantage than they were before, if that's possible. For example, to increase the buffer zone, the area that is on the Gaza side of the ceasefire line, which is in effect a no man's land that nothing can move, nothing is allowed to be built. There are no structures of any kind. Anything that goes up will have to be demolished. Instead of prior to this, zone was supposed to be 500 meters. Now, afterwards, after the destruction of Shejaiya and Beit Hanina and Beit Lahia and Al Khaza'a and all of this, it's being extended now to 3 kilometers, which is shrinking the living area in Gaza to almost half of what it was, what it's supposed to be, with fewer water resources and everything. That's all part of it. And this is the ceasefire that Israel wants to impose on Gaza. Well, it's not surprising that Hamas refuses to be humiliated by such a ceasefire. But basically, Hamas has nothing to lose. The people of Gaza have nothing to lose by refusing to accept this ceasefire.